Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves with one another who are like-minded on your plan of history, your plan of salvation, spirituality, and grace blessings. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. We pray, Father, that it will have an impact in our own individual lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'm held to the schedule here. So, the next thing is announcements. And we do have several. Have several announcements. And usually we start off praying for the prayer requests and things, and we generally start off with Thomas. And but this morning I want to start off by extending some deep appreciation to primarily three people. First of all, Tyson, and Tyson, just cannot thank you enough. And Julie, cannot thank you enough. Now, those of you that may have tried to get on the internet, it went out. And it wasn't just the weather. We blew a card. Is that the way to word it? Motherboard. We blew a motherboard. Whatever that means. And it has been out. And Tyson and Julie have worked. In fact, Julie, you worked late last night getting the program compatible to what we needed for today, at least, right? Okay. And so that's how she spent her Saturday night while you and I were having fun. She was working laboriously on that. And Tyson worked on getting us a new motherboard and computer and these kinds of things all set up. Now, I have a question that I probably should have asked before we met General Assembly. Tyson and Julie, are we set up now permanently? I mean, you know, no. Okay, we're not. Are we set up on what we needed to purchase? No. Okay. So, we have that going. And right now, the main, internet site, Jim? Well, is that called the main one? Is not open yet. But the alternate svbctx.org is open for listening. And Romeo, I call it Romeo's site, he doesn't like that, but anyway, he's put together a site, and it's ccmtexas.org. And CCM stands for Christ-Centered Ministries. And the thing about this site is you don't have to listen to the music. You don't have to listen to James. You don't have to listen to the announcements. You don't have to listen to anything except the teaching. And it just goes right into the teaching. And there are people who, because of their time, that's what they want to do. So, but those two sites are ready for listening right now, svbc.org and ccmtex.org. So these are working now. And I want to thank Jim Langston for all that he does. These people are not paid. They're not paid. James is not paid. Jim is not paid. Julie's not paid. Tyson's not paid. This is, I guess, for lack of better expression, services under the Lord. And Romeo's not paid. So, huh? So these people are not paid. They are serving the Lord, and we benefit from their service. And I'm so thankful for all that they do in that respect. Any questions on the internet? If you are, yes.
We had a
Yes. We're probably going to have to do it again. And I want to say to those of you that are on the internet, we don't pass a collection plate through the internet, but if you'd like to help, since you gain from it more than most, if you'd like to be a part of getting this taken care of, please send money. No, I didn't mean that. And but you can help us to get these things paid for as far as the sound system is concerned and the internet connection. Anything else, Julie? Okay.
We do know that the quote for the new box so roughly $1,200. We do have a chance coming for the software, the software that we are going to subscribe. One is Audition.
Imagine the task that's going to be, moving all the material, the information, from one to another. I mean, my goodness, thank you so much.
Yeah, for the past, just roughly, we actually have over 10,000 files, because he's been teaching for so many years. We have the...
Be careful. Donna, you had a question?
If somebody were to go online and watch some AVCon classes, would that be easy? How do you do that? How do you make a contribution online?
We go to the
page,
and we have a PayPal button that you can click and just put in the contribution from there.
Okay, thank you. Kermit, can you repeat that through your microphone, please?
If okay, can you repeat it, Jim? If someone on the internet wants to give a contribution, there is a
contribution page.
On our website, it says contribution page.
Yeah,
and
donate.
Okay, PayPal and donate. And so that's how they can do it to Spring Valley Bible Church. Okay, very good. All right. Any other comments, questions? So I really do want to thank Julie and Tyson and Romeo for the time they spend on getting all of this done. We had to get a completely new card program because this one is gone.
Replacement computer.
Yeah, replace the old computer.
Replacement computer.
All right. So just give appreciation to them for doing that. Yes, sir. Okay. All right.
And they changed it from purchasing to basically leasing it over the internet.
Okay. Any way they can make money. I understand that. Well, thank y'all very, very much. Any other question or input about the sound, about the internet connection and getting it on the internet, contributions on the internet? I mean, you on the internet are the ones that are really benefiting from that. So Just be guided by the Holy Spirit and in regard to helping. Okay, now let's go on with our announcements. And Terry, how's Thomas?
He's well. He's recovering. Therapy's going good. He's just really tired. He's not sleeping good at night.
Yeah.
And just pray for that he continues to have endurance. But, you know, school is ending on Friday for everybody's taking a break, but it's not going to be for Thomas. He'll be working all through the Christmas break.
Okay.
He may take
break. Make up for time.
Yes.
All right.
And he'll go back in January, back to school, walking, hopefully.
Wow. Very good.
Without crutches. He may just be on a horse short time, but he'll also go back and take all his final exams then.
Very good.
He's going to need this whole break.
Okay. Very good. All right. Any other yes?
If you'll be in prayer, please, for all the children that we were able to share the gospel with in the Christmas story yesterday at the apartment complex in Plano called the Garden Gate. We had about 25 children come and join us, and we brought about 25 children. Lori, Chris, and I had, Brian had no idea how many of our children were going to be able to make it or show up, and they came in full force, and we encouraged each of them to find one child to sit down with and share the gospel with. We had a very different situation. Usually we're knocking on all their apartment doors, saying, come on, in your pajamas, whatever, come on. You know, the parents are totally fine with that. They don't care, just get the kids out of the house. And, but these kids all came. I mean, they were there at 10 o'clock. We put flyers out, but, you know, we don't know whether they're going to read them or not. And but they were all there at 10 o'clock. They stayed for the duration, all ages, you know, from 3 to 14. And it was a great day. But please be in prayer for those children. You know, I personally was able to share the gospel with one, DeAndre, I think was her name, Dion. I don't know how to pronounce half their name. I'm so sorry. They're interesting.
Good.
They were very happy that we were there.
So let's be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will now take the information given to them, namely the gospel, and convict them, lead them to an understanding and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior, and living, making Christ the center of their life. Okay. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
It's going to be a big travel week for a lot of friends and family.
Yeah. So need to be in prayer for travel. Yeah. And I guess that includes weather. And John Henson and I have more fun. He's just a wonderful friend, and I'm very sorry that we didn't get two Sundays with John. But we were just kidding about how God must have fun with his weather machine up there. Just, I think we'll push that one now. No, let's push this one over here. Let's push this one here. And just play havoc with weather. So we'll be in prayer for the traveling. Thank you. Now announcements. We will have class this coming Wednesday. We will have, no Sunday will be interrupted. For all through the holiday period, we will be both services on Sunday. But this Wednesday, we will have our study and service together. We will not meet Christmas night. Wednesday, Christmas night, we will not meet. New Year's Eve, we will meet at 7 o'clock and be through about 9 with some time for fellowship and some enjoyment of finger food, this type of thing. So any question about the schedule? Okay, very good. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has believed in Christ as Savior by faith alone, in Christ alone, but also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Just believing and trusting in the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit guides in regard to what to do with your money as well as your time. So that is the understanding of the cheerful giver as far as the Word of God is concerned. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. By the way, if you, some people do, and that's why this is stated, some people look at their finances and give an extra amount at this time of the year. We can certainly use it. We're getting ready to purchase a car. We can use it for our young people at camp next year. And there's just a lot of uses that we can do if you're in that branch of finance. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this humble assembly. We are so thankful for the opportunities you give us to spread the gospel through missionary activity, through our young people, and right here in our own assembly and on the internet. We're overwhelmed, Heavenly Father, with your use of this assembly, the teaching of this assembly, Father. And we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use us, Heavenly Father, through the new year, according to your plan and your grace. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Most of you know I've been a bachelor for 67 years. And one thing that's always kind of frightened me is a pregnant woman. And the more pregnant they become, the more frightening I become. But we need to be in prayer for Beth and Jason. And when's the baby due? January 22nd. So that means I got nearly a whole month to be afraid. Okay. And but we'll be in prayer for your everything going on. Okay, good. All right, people, we now begin a Christmas special, and we're going to study three stories of Christmas from the Bible. Three stories of Christmas from the Bible. And let's see, I had a New American Standard somewhere. Okay. One, all of you know very well. But the other two you may not know that well. But we're going to begin this morning with the first story, Christmas Light. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. The teacher is the Holy Spirit. To put all three of these in proper order, in proper importance and significance of each one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is our custom to celebrate the birth of our Savior on December 25th. Whatever day it actually happened in history, we are so thankful that God became man, that He might take our place on a cross, bearing the judgment of our sins, providing the way of imputed righteousness. And we pray, Father, that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see in the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake and glory. Amen. Okay, let's start off by opening your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This is our first Christmas story from the Bible, the Christmas Light. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Okay, we have a problem. First of all, there is a problem between verses 1 and 2. This problem, you've got to see this problem, people, because it sets up the need for Christmas. If you fail to see the problem, you'll fail to see the real need of Christmas. Verse 1 says, God created. The Hebrew word is bara, B-A-R-A. To create here, it means to create out of nothing. There was nothing, and God created the earth along with the whole universe. This refers to the first creation of the earth, the original creation, the first world, the prehistoric world. Then, between verses 1 and 2, something horrible happened. And that horrible thing that happened is why we need Christmas. Now, it refers, what happened in between verses 1 and 2 is what we're studying in Daniel 10. We'll get back to that. The angelic conflict. Now, how do we know this? How do we know something happened between verses 1 and 2? Many people contend no. How do we know that? Is it just my theology? Or can we go to the Bible and find out why something happened between verses 1 and 2? Well, one reason, I'm not going to go through all of them, but one of the most blatant reasons we know scripturally is found in Isaiah 45. If you'll open your Bibles to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, and let's read verse 18 and note it. For thus says the Lord, who created bara, same as in Genesis 1, the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it. Now notice carefully the next phrase. And did not create it, bara, create it a waste place. See that word waste place? That's the Hebrew tohu, T-O-H-U. They took away my table. I can't use my overhead. Can't use anything. So I'm just going to have to talk it. But it's tohu, T-O-H-U. This is the same word as in Genesis 1-2. It's the exact same word used in Genesis 1-2, where it says the earth was formless. Here it says, he did not create it a waste place. So we're going to look at 1-2 in just a moment. Genesis 1-2, should be, and the earth became tohu, that is a waste place. God did not create the earth a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now let's go back to Genesis 1-2. You understand what we just read? He did not create it tohu. He did not create it a waste place. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth became, or was, excuse me, was formless. See that word formless? That's the same word we have in Isaiah. He did not create it this way. People, just read verse 2. Look at it. The earth was formless, void, and darkness was over the face of the earth, surface of the deep. Does that sound like God to you? Does that sound like God created it that way? Is that your view of God? He creates a trash heap covered in darkness? No. That's not God. Something happened. Now the next thing I want you to know, then verse 2, the earth was. No, it's the earth became. Became. Oh, well, how can you just say that? Okay, would you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I want to show you the same word, Hebrew word, under the same construction, cow perfect, and look what it says in chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Became. That's the same exact construction as in Genesis 1-2. Exact same. Same Hebrew word, same Hebrew breakdown. So, it says in verse 2, the earth became formless, a waste place, void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now people, we've just seen in Isaiah, God did not create a waste place. God did not create a trash heap. He did not create something void and full of darkness. How did it get that way? It says it became. How did it get that way? This is because of the angelic conflict that we'll be looking at again, continue looking at in Daniel chapter 10 when we resume the last Sunday of this month. We'll be back in Daniel and we'll be looking at this. But this is what happened, the angelic conflict. This is the result of sin. See, this is the result of sin on the earth, to the angels, and to each of us when we sin. Look at it. This is why Christmas. The earth the angels, mankind, you and I, even as believers, became a waste, void, and darkness. That's the effect of sin. What you see in verse 2 is the dramatic effect of sin on the earth. But not only on the earth, if we can see it, on each of us individually. This is why Lewis Berry Chafer said that we must regard getting back into the Holy Spirit as analogous to our original salvation. It's a form of salvation. We have to be saved, as it were, not eternally, but spiritually, because when we sin, we are waste, void, and darkness. And we need to be restored from that. And we're restored from that by faith in Jesus Christ as unbelievers, by faith in the Holy Spirit as believers. It's God who does this, not man. We bring about the sin. God brings about the recovery. So, and then it says in continuing verse 2, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, verse 3, here's our study, let there be light. And there was light. This begins our first Christmas story. Let there be light. That's a presentation of the gospel from God. Let there be light. Let there be a way out of the waste, of the voidness, of the darkness. Let there be a way out. Let there be a way out of all of this. So while verse 2 describes the physical earth after the angelic conflict, which again we'll study the third Sunday of this month, it also is a vivid description of something else. It describes the effect of sin. You've got to get this in your soul, in your head. Verse 2 is not how God created it. It's what angels did to it. It's what creatures do to it. So it describes how each of us look to God as unbelievers and as believers when we sin. This is how you look. How does God see you, even though you're in Christ? When we sin, He sees us a waste, void, and darkness. He provided a way of light. But we'll come to that as our study continues. But this is how God sees us. Let's look now. Formless. But we have seen in the Hebrew, this word describes a waste, emptiness, vanity. And this is a perfect description of each of us are born into the human race with Adam's original sin and an inherited sin nature. It's how we look to God, born under condemnation. And then it says, as if that isn't bad enough, and void. Bohu. Tohu va bohu. Waste and void. The word void or bohu, emptiness. And this is exactly what we are as unbelievers, people. This is exactly what we are as believers when we're in sin, in the flesh. This is exactly what we're empty. Empty of any righteousness, act of righteousness, empty of any merit. We have no merit before God as unbelievers and as believers in sin. Unable to do anything to correct our situation. No ability to save ourselves or restore ourselves. We're empty. This is how drastic sin is. And people, I'm talking about all sin, any sin. This is how drastic sin is. We are born into this world looking just like the world did after the prehistoric battle of the angelic conflict. That's how we all look to God. He looked at the world, He looks at us. And verse 2 describes what He sees. Waste, void, darkness. Satan and angels sinned, and this is the effect of their sin on the earth. The earth became tohu va vohu. Earth became waste and empty. And I remind you, The corrected translation became, if you have any problem with that, look at Genesis 2:7. There are other places. I just picked that one because it's so close and so much involved in the creation story. So this is how we look to God. No ability to save ourselves. And Satan, angels that followed him, sinned by rebelling against God. We'll take a look at all of this briefly in the angelic conflict study in Daniel 10. The earth became tohu vabohu. Earth became waste and emptiness. God did not create it that way. What's your view of God? Is that your view of God? He created the world of waste, void, empty, darkness. But he created it for habitation. What? People, that's not God. Verse 2 is the effect of sin, not the effect of God. Don't blaspheme God. God did not do that. God is not the author of sin. He did not create the world that way. He created it a beautiful place for a habitation of the angelic realm. And they came down and just trashed it with their sin. So, and then it says, and darkness. And darkness. Again, this describes how we enter into this world in total darkness. So please start off this Christmas story with all mankind as waste, emptiness, and darkness. Now, question, what does God do? What does God do when he comes upon waste, void, and darkness, emptiness? I'll tell you what a lot of people think God does. When he comes upon sin, comes upon these things, he judges. God is going to get you. That's their view of God. He comes across something that's empty and void and barren and dark. He judges. It's not God. Let's learn about God. Let's learn about what God does. Look at verse 3. See, most people have a view of God that he comes across sin, emptiness, darkness. He judges. Their view of God is that he is a God who prefers to judge and condemn. Well, let's take a look at what the Bible says about God. Then God said, send them all to hell! Get rid of everybody! Do away with all of this! No, look what God does. Let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. This is what God does when he comes across darkness. He brings light. Life. Now look at verse 4. God saw that the light was good. Intrinsic value. Good is determined by what is needed. By what is needed. Brussels sprouts are not good when you expect Bluebell ice cream. It just doesn't add up. For something to be good depends on what it's for. What it's for. So, God made light. And then it says, God saw that the light was good. And God separated. This is very important. Theologically, God separated the light from darkness. People, the world is made up of two people. Believers and unbelievers. Light and darkness. The body of Christ is divided into two parts. Those walking in the Spirit, those walking in the flesh. Those walking in the Spirit are walking in light. Those walking in the flesh are walking in darkness. He separates them. That's a very important statement of God, separating the light and the darkness. Now, what does God do when he comes upon man? This is the world. These are where the angels have done to it. What does God do when he comes upon man in similar circumstances? Empty, a waste, darkness. For the second part of our first Christmas story, let's turn to John chapter 1. the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is John's, the Apostle John, this is his Christmas story. It's not like Matthew and Mark, Matthew and Luke. It's different. He doesn't talk about the shepherds. He doesn't talk about the Virgin Mary. He doesn't talk about the child being born. He doesn't go through all of that. This is John's. But I don't want you to miss, this is his Christmas story. This is his presentation of the Christmas story, because John picks it up from Genesis 1. John goes back to Genesis 1 for his Christmas story. So Genesis 1, or John 1, 1, in the beginning, and really the, I'm not going to translate and work with it all, but it means which has no beginning, was the Word, Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is Jesus Christ. So here we're learning some theology proper about God and some Christology about Jesus Christ as we introduce our Christmas story. Verse 2. He was in the beginning, again, which has no beginning, with God. All things came into being through Him. Logos. He's the Creator. Now, I don't want to get involved in all that right now, but Jesus Christ created the vastness of the universe, the galaxies, all that you see, and the world. He created it. And He did not create it tohu va-bohu. He did not create it a waste. He did not create it empty. What kind of Christ is that? What kind of Creator is that? That's your idea of a Creator? See, I'm so old now, I saw the decline in art. I mean, they call conglomerations like this art. And they put it up in front of buildings. Oh, look at this. This is great. What in the world is it? Well, he made it out of tools. He made it out of iron. He made it out of this. Made it out of that. It's not art. It's just waste. That's what it is. Is that God? Is that your view of God, of Christ? That's the way He creates? No, that's not the way He creates. So, verse 3. All things, the universe, the world, and by the way, you and I, came into being through Him, Logos. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, is John's Christmas story. God said, let there be light. He's talking about let there be Christ. Let there be a way out. That's talking about Christ and what He will offer. Let there be light to shed on that darkness. Let there be light to give definition to the emptiness, to the voidness, to emptiness. That's what Christ does. And that's what Christ does for each of us. He takes our empty life and fills it. He takes our waste life and gives it definition. Gives it purpose and meaning. He takes the darkness of our sinful state and makes it light. So what is the darkness? Well, let's continue reading now. The light in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. What is the darkness referring to? In context, it refers to the darkness of man. The darkness in man. Remember what God did in Genesis 1? Separated the light from the darkness, unbelieving mankind. And the light shines in the darkness. Light is our first Christmas story. Light refers to the first Christmas. This light coming into the world refers to Jesus Christ as God coming into the darkness in the form of humanity as the light of the world, the light of our salvation. And then it says, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That is, mankind rejected Jesus Christ, rejected the light as shown in the darkness. Jesus Christ as the light of the world, Jesus Christ is the only light of the world shining in darkness. The world cannot comprehend it. So what's going to have to happen? Back in Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit moved. See, you have the whole salvation story in Genesis 1, 2, 3. The Holy Spirit moves over all unbelievers, convicts of sin, convicts of judgment, convicts of righteousness. The Holy Spirit moved over the face of the earth. Now, I won't get involved in all of this right now, but it was frozen because of the spiritual warfare, and God threw the fallen angels into that water, and that water is known as the deep in Genesis 1-2. It talks about the deep. I didn't go into that because that's not part of our study. It will be when we come to Daniel. If you studied the word the deep in ancient Eastern, Near Eastern ancient mythology, not Greek mythology, but Near Eastern ancient mythology, deep is a very important term in mythology. It refers to the place, this barren place of water where the demons were all cast. And then it was frozen. And the angel moved over, or the Holy Spirit moved over, and it all opened up. That's why in Revelation 13, out of the what? Out of the deep came the dragon from the sea. This whole thing just is so beautifully put together as regard to what God is doing, especially in regard to the Christmas story. Let's look at verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist, John the Voice. He came as a witness to testify about the light. And people, that's why we're here. That's one of the reasons we're here. Not the only reason. One reason we're here, to testify about the light. We live in a dark world. And America's getting darker and darker as it moves further and further away from the Bible, further and further away from Jesus Christ, further and further away from the cross. It gets darker. See, here's the light. As you move away, it's darker, 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 darker. And that's what's happening in America. You and I are here to be a witness of the light. So he came, verse 7, he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. That is, that all might believe in the Logos, believe in Jesus Christ as their saving light. Verse 8, he was not the light, John, and you are not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And that's what we do. There was the true light, which, and by the way, what did God say about this light? It is good. Okay. But he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. Enlightens as to truth out of darkness. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That's referring to the Jews. But as many as received him, some Jews, some Gentiles, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God. That's why the light is good. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh doesn't comprehend this, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, before we move on, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, and he spoke to them for their advantage, to them for their advantage, saying, I am the light of the world. God said, let there be light. Jesus Christ said, I am that light. I am the light of the world. And God saw that it was good. So the Christmas story is the coming into the dark world, the barren world, the waste world, the world of waste and void. He sent his son. So, verse 12 of John 8, then Jesus again spoke to them for their advantage, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I am the light that God sent into the world. This is why Jesus Christ came into the world. This is why we have Christmas. This is why Christmas is a gift from God to all mankind, taken advantage of by those who believe in Jesus Christ. And God sent his Son into the world as light of the world to give the gracious gift of life to all who would believe. Okay. Any questions on the first story of Christmas? Alright, this brings us to our second story. We have two stories left of Christmas. So we're going to take up the two next stories of Christmas next Sunday because we have something special for you this morning. And I don't want to cut into that, so we will now. Do I turn it over to whom? Lori?
I'm going to
find Lori. All right, you're going to find her.
Hold tight.
Huh?
I said hold tight.
Okay. Any questions over the first story of Christmas? Okay.
For being very patient, is it on? It just has to be straight up. Oh. Okay. I wanted to thank them for being patient with us and working with the kids that we have to do our Christmas celebration. We try to do a little something every year. This year, James and I just talked and wanted to do something with James, with Judith, and with some of the rest of the church so it could truly be a Spring Valley Christmas celebration. I wanted you guys to think about something as you're watching today, our mighty few kids that we have. And a lot of times the kids go straight to the Sunday school and you don't even see them. And it is a small few, but they're consistent and they're here every time. And I want you to think about something, that as these kids walk up here, you are looking at a ninth grade ministry. You are looking at a seventh grade ministry. Sorry. You are looking at a fifth grade ministry and a fourth grade ministry and a first grade ministry. And God doesn't call the many, he calls the faithful. And I want you to watch that and think about our kids that are out there and just keep praying for them. And thank you, kids, for being here today and all you do. All right, thank you.
Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary.
She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you."
Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus.
He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end."
Mary asked the angel, "But how could this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and will be called the Son of God.
What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God."
Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her.
King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem.
He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote.
And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel."
Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the first star appeared.
Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too."
After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Chris. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and dead and buried. I believe what I believe. It's what makes me who I am. No, I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. I believe in He who suffered, was crucified, buried, and dead. He descended into hell, and on the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, where He sits at God's mighty right hand. I believe that He's returning to judge the quick and the dead of the sons of men. I believe what I believe. It's what makes me who I am. No, I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin. I believe in the resurrection. Oh, I believe in a life that never ends. I believe what I believe. It's what makes me who I am. No, I did not make it. No, it is making me. No, I did not make it. No, it is making me. No, I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man.
Thank you.